Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reach people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody. Joe McGee, we're going through the Bible. Actually, we're going through in chronological order, which most people don't have a clue what that is, because all the Bibles of the world are written from the longest book to the shortest book. And that's okay. But if you're trying to read historically, people read and say, well, I thought that already happened. I thought that hadn't happened yet. I said, it's not in chronological order. For some reason, the original fathers that wrote, did a great job, but that they wrote it from the longest book, Genesis, which covers, about 2,500 years, to the shortest book. And so what we're doing it in chronological order, and it's going to be really good. So today we're picking up the story of Joshua, and it's a great story. Joshua covers a lot of scripture. And so Joshua's in the middle of several battles, and God's given him victory. So we're going to pick up in Joshua chapter 11, where the northern armies, they've already dealt with the southern armies. Now they're dealing with the northern armies. So I'm going to pick this up in chapter 11, around verse 1. It says, when King Jabin of Hazor heard that had happened, he sent messengers to the following kings: King Joab of Madon, King Shimron, the king of Ashaph, and the kings of the northern hill country, and the kings of the Jordan Valley south of Galilee, the kings of the Galilean foothills, the kings of north and the west, and the kings of Canaan, both came from east and west, the kings of the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites in the hill country, and all the Hivites in the towns and slopes of Mount Hermon, in the land of Mizpah. This is a mess of people, guys. We have stirred the water. All these kings came out to fight. They combined armies, formed a vast horde, and with their horses and chariots, they covered the landscape like the sand of the seashore. The kings joined forces and established their camp around the water near Merom to fight against Israel. So from Genesis to Revelation, God's people have always been outnumbered, outman, tried to be outfought, but God gave them victory time and time again. God was always trying to show Israel, I'm your God. I'm going to help you. I will defend you. I'll rescue you. You don't have any problems. I'm with you. And so within that challenge, they had to realize that, okay, we got to learn not to fear. That's why every time God sent an angel to Joshua across the Jordan River, the angel had to tell him three times, fear not, fear not, fear not. Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, fear not, fear not. When God talks to his people, he's always saying the same thing. Fear not. Don't be worried. I got this covered. So he hasn't changed his attitude. He's trying to get somebody to trust him. So all these kings came out to fight. Their combined forces formed a vast horde. So they covered the landscape. Around verse 6 is, the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid of them. By this time tomorrow, I'll hand all of them over to Israel as dead men. Now, you understand, we've just read about 8 different kingdoms and all the armies. So many they cover the land like sand on the seashore. You can't count them. There's too many. There's hordes and hordes and hordes of them. And the Lord said, don't be afraid. But this time tomorrow, I'm going to hand all of them over to Israel as dead men. Then you must cripple their horses and burn their chariots. Now, this gets ugly. People read the Bible sometimes and say, well, God would do that. Well, you just got to read it as it is, guys. God wrote the book. I'm just reading the book. So it says, so Joshua and all his fighting men traveled to the water near Merom and attacked suddenly. And the Lord gave them victory over their enemies. And the Israelites chased them as far as the greater Sidon and at Mizpah eastward into the valley of Mizpah, until not one enemy warrior was left alive. Then Joshua crippled the horses and burned all the chariots, as the Lord had instructed. Joshua then turned back and captured Hazor and killed its king. Hazor had the one time been the capital of all these kingdoms. So the Israelites completely destroyed every living thing in the city, leaving no survivors. Not a single person was spared. Then Joshua burned the city. Now, this is not a Walt Disney movie, guys. This is not some friendly, happy movie that's 30 minutes long or whatever. This is God. And God, you got to go back to the beginning, how it all happened. When God made Adam and Eve, they weren't the only people on this planet. People, so many questions you get, especially when dealt with high school kids for years. They're not the only people here, but they are God's people. And so they got fired from their job, evicted from the house, and their kids started killing each other. And that was the first family. So God has always had this challenge. He's trying to get somebody to trust him. Somebody. The Bible says God searches to and fro, trying to find somebody that will believe him. I remember I taught intercessory prayer for 10 years in a local church, and it was fascinating. People say, how'd you learn intercessory prayer? Teaching it? I had to learn it because I had to teach it. It's part of my job description. What I want to learn was God's just constantly looking for somebody. Will you trust me? It's not how big you are, how smart you are. It's not your IQ. It's not your GPA. It's not how much money you have in the bank. It's do you trust God? And so we go to Hebrews, the New Testament. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Well, I'm not to please God. I don't want God mad at me. Well, how do you please him? Faith. It's like Jesus said, do you believe? I mean, every time Jesus did a miracle, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he usually asked the question, do you believe I can do this? Remember the one guy had the boy that was demon possessed. He asked the dad, do you believe I can do this? And the dad said, well, is that important? He said, yes. Jesus said, yes, because I'm limited by what you believe. I'm limited by what you believe. I can do all things. I created the universe. I hold everything together by the power of my word. But I am limited in your life by what you believe I can do. Do you believe? And the man gave a great answer. He said, well, Lord, I believe. Can you help my unbelief? And Jesus said, well, I can do that too. So verse 10 said, Joshua turned back, captured Hazor and killed its king that had been the capital of all these kingdoms. The Israelites completely destroyed them. So Joshua slaughtered all the other kings and their people, completely destroying them, just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded. But the Israelites did not burn any of the towns built on the mounds, except Hazor, which Joshua burned. And the Israelites took the plunder and the livestock and ravaged towns for themselves. But they killed all the people, leaving no survivors, as the Lord had commanded his servant Moses. So Moses commanded Joshua, and Joshua did as he was told, and carefully obeying all the commands that the Lord had given to Moses. So Joshua conquered the entire region, the hill country, the entire Negev, desert, the whole area around the towns of Goshen and the western foothills. And God's being so detailed. He's, listen, I left nothing undone. It's going to be all conquered. You're going to give you complete victory. And so we're still in chapter 11. And so I guess down it says, everything in the Jordan Valley, the mountains of Israel, the Galilean foothills, the Israelite territory now extended all the way from Mount Halak and leads to Mount Seir in the south, as far north as Baal-Gad, the foot of Mount Hermon in the Valley of Lebanon. Joshua killed all the kings in those territories, waging war for a long time to accomplish this. No one in this region made peace with the Israelites except the Hivites of Gibeon. All the others were defeated, for the Lord hardened their hearts and caused them to fight the Israelites. So they were completely destroyed without mercy, as the Lord had commanded Moses. During this period, Joshua destroyed all the descendants of Anak, who lived in the hill country of Hebron, Debir, Adab, and the entire hill country of Judah and Israel. He killed them and all completely destroyed their towns. None of the descendants of Anak were left in all the land of Israel, though some still remain in Gaza, Gath, and Ashdod. Did you recognize the name Gaza? Is there a problem in Israel today in Gaza? So Joshua took control of the entire land, just as the Lord had instructed Moses. And he gave it to the people of Israel as their special possession, dividing the land among the tribes. So the land finally had rest from war. And what was God trying to do? Rest from war. Why? He had enemies. And so I don't know how many Bible stories I'm going to tell, because I've told this story so many times on a top chapel. For 10 years at that private school, I went through the Bible every year. For 9 months, I taught Bible every day, 170 days, actually 171 days a year, I taught a Bible class, mostly to seniors. And I went from Genesis to Revelation. People would ask me, where'd you learn the Bible? Well, I learned it by teaching a Bible class to some high school students. I taught it every year. I went from Genesis to Revelation every year. And so I went the entire Bible 10 times in 10 years. And if you read the entire Bible 10 times in 10 years, you sort of get the big picture. And what you realize, God hates sin. Sin has death attached to it. God does not like death. God is life. God is eternal life. And so he knows how death tries to worm its way in. It's like the devil did with Adam and Eve. You know, that's why they had to kick him out of the garden. You know, we can't let them get near the tree of life. They take that fruit, they'll live forever and be separated from God for eternity. And God didn't want that. So had to kick him out of the garden. But God wasn't through. God said, well, listen, I got a plan. Man's going to reject me, but I've got a plan to send my son. Now, the entire story of Jesus, you've got to read it. It's an incredible story. But during the entire story of Jesus, the Bible says, had the devil known, now this is the New Living Translation, had the devil known, he never would have crucified the Lord of glory. Why? God suckered him into killing his son. Why? Jesus never sinned. Jesus did not deserve to die. We deserve to die. We were born sinners. We've sinned since we left our mother's womb. First word a kid learns is no. So we were sinning from day one. And so what happens is you got all these people. What's going on? Well, sin's got death attached to it. So I got to have somebody take the place of these people. So Jesus, who never sinned, died. He shouldn't have died. He didn't deserve to die. Death should not have touched him. But he took on our sin. He took on death for us. And so God sent him to the cross. I remember right before Jesus went to the cross, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's praying. He's just realized he's got to die. I mean, it's come as a revelation to him. And people say, well, how did he not know that? He said, well, he's here as a human. God came to earth as a human, born, you know, of a virgin in a manger. We sing the song, we tell the story, but it just doesn't sink in. God had to come to earth as a human. A human lost this planet. A human had to get it back. So God's born here, grows up, you know, Mary and Joseph. Joseph dies. Jesus takes over the family business. His brothers and sisters never really believed in him, never really liked him. It wasn't until Jesus was raised from the dead that his family finally believed that he was the Son of God. And they did believe. And several of them died for it. I mean, it was an incredible story. Like I said, you read your Bible, you sort of get the big picture. It's amazing, a phenomenal story that God, how much he loves us and what he's doing for us. So anyhow, you come through these Old Testament stories and what's going on? Well, God's trying to establish a people. You know, they've been slaves in Egypt for 400 years. They've turned their back on God again and again and again and again. God's forgiven again and again and again and again. He's trying to get them to stay true. He's trying to get them to do the right thing every day. Learn how to repent quick and forgive quick. That's why as a Christian, I've taught my family, taught for years when I taught students, like, guys, every day you're going to get an opportunity to forgive and an opportunity to repent. You aren't not perfect. You've got flesh. Flesh is damned. It's going back to dust. One day you'll get a new body, but the one you got right now does not want to do what's right. You know, it just doesn't. And that's why you got to grow in the things of God, meditate in the word of God, and hang out with the saints and pray and repent and forgive. It's a process. It's not a one-day event. It's a process of growing up in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So all these Old Testament stories are a reflection of what God in the New Testament. So here's Joshua's trying to take the promised land. Well, what's it full of? It's full of a lot of evil people who want to kill, stab, murder, rape, burn, rob, you name it. And so when God went in, said, listen, we've got to wipe them all out. In the walls of Jericho, that's why they walked around them for 7 days. And when they fell, God said, kill everything in there. Don't take a thing out of there because it's got death attached to it. He said, I'll give you a blessing, but not from Jericho. Remember the one family guy that stole stuff out of Jericho? And when they went into the next battle, several thousand died. And Joshua said, what happened? What's wrong, God? What did I do wrong? He said, somebody among you stole my stuff. I told you Jericho was mine. Jericho is the seed to the promised land. I'm going to give you Jericho so you can give Jericho back to me. Therefore, I'll give you the rest of the promised land. It's like paying your tithe. Well, that's 10%. Yeah, but you get the 90%. That's how you get the 90 and get to keep it. And so some guy stole God's stuff. And so the guys died. And so they cast lots. And finally, the guy was exposed. Him. He's the one that did it. So they put him in the middle of all the people, and they stoned him to death, and they buried him. Well, the next day, they go back to battle, and they had great victory. You cannot have sin in your life. Sin has death attached to it. And people today, they say, well, it's not that big a deal. It's not. It's a huge deal. You want to every day, I'm telling you, every day you get to repent. Every day you get to forgive. The Bible says the righteous fall seven times a day, but they get back up. We're not the perfect people. We're the getting back up people. So today, if you have any thoughts about anything, say, Lord, every day, say, Lord, forgive me. Or, Lord, I forgive my boss. Or, Lord, I forgive my neighbor. Or, Lord, I forgive my kids. I forgive my mother-in-law. Don't hold any grudge against anybody. Learn how to repent and forgive every day. Pray for them. Jesus, pray for those that despitefully use you and misuse you. God said, pray for them. Don't judge them. Pray for them. Take blindness from their minds, Lord, and lighten their eyes of understanding. Send laborers across their path. That's what we want to pray, because God's got a great plan. We're alive in the last days, the greatest days of human history. There is revival like you cannot imagine going on all over this planet. What happens is you don't get caught up in the secular news. God's not into the secular news. God's doing something wonderful in these last days. So let's be part of that, not get caught up in the negative. Well, I hope you learned some things today. We'll be back next time with another great story out of the Old Testament. God bless, guys. Thanks for listening. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family, and we're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.